not knowing exactly how these things happen, but knowing that it is God who brings forth His will. We are in the parables of the kingdom, as Mark tells them. Very likely the first gospel written. And this parable today is one that only Mark includes in his parables. Last time it was the parable, our Bible says, of the sower. We could also say the parable of the soils. I'm going to skip and come back to the little interlude there after that about the lamp on the stand. And today we're going to consider this short parable, Mark 4, 26 through 29. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Our Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth, and we all pray that the meditation in our hearts, will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We had purchased our first house, Betsy and me, and at that time we had one half of the crew, Fulton, Morris, and Millage, and that house was on Carolina Avenue in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And though at this time we didn't plant seeds, we planted bulbs. I went out and around some trees in our at that house at the proper time of year. Around some trees and in some flower beds, I had planted bulbs, tulips, and I believe daffodils. And I was like a child as I began to go out there in the spring and watch a little green something start to poke up through the ground. And I was in wonder as it then grew into a stalk, and then a tulip grew from those bulbs. Anyone ever experienced that? The wonder of watching that happen. I mean, it's amazing. Now later on, since this parable is about seeds, we had in Louisville later on, we had apparently a lot of phosphorus in our soil outside the back of our house in Louisville, and we would plant all kinds of things. We plant tomato plants and peppers, but one year we planted to plant some pumpkin seeds. And I have to say, I couldn't let those pumpkins keep growing. I had to put an end to the pumpkins because they were gonna take over and kill all the other food. Now there's a whole other story too about mulching gourds in our compost pit and how it then bloomed into gourds growing up out of the pit all through the yard. But the wonder of the growth of seeds. We've all experienced it. We see it. We can walk right along in this short parable with the farmer and with those listening. We know the wonder of this. And in this parable, as in this collection of parables, Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to the mystery and the power at work in a little seed. First, in verse 26, we have the sowing of the kingdom. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, or a farmer scatters seed on the ground. The seed, we know, is the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. And it possesses power just like the seed in this parable, sow the seed of the word of God, possesses power within itself to germinate and to bear fruit. Last week, as you'll remember, we were considering a passage that in particular was speaking of one main point: receiving the gospel or rejecting the gospel. And we discussed how it can seem, well, some, you know, the gospel is preached and it is one ear and out the other. Others, we saw that it appears that the gospel has taken root, but then we see that it really hasn't taken root because the sun comes and scorches and it dies. And then others, we thought, no, it looks like it's taken fruit, but then the worries of this world show that the gospel hadn't actually taken hold. But then in others, it does. It takes hold. Well, today whereas last week it was more of the need for responsive hearts, today it's more about the fact that the kingdom of God has power within itself. The word has power within itself to overcome opposition and to establish itself. And today we do get into the point, though the main point is still the growth through the evangelism of God's kingdom. It does also at least point us to the growth, the sanctification of believers within that kingdom as the kingdom grows. The farmer scatters seed. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A farmer, he scatters seed on the ground. The farmer scatters seed because he knows there's power within that seed to bring forth, to germinate and bring forth fruit. Now, interestingly, in the parable, and this is the point of parables, you have to kind of take them for what they are. This parable doesn't tell us anything about soil preparation, about rainfall, about sunshine, about weed control, about plowing, about hail or locusts, because these aspects are not the point of this parable. God is the point. God provides. You know, it looks ridiculous, doesn't it? A farmer, the bag over his shoulder, throwing seeds onto the ground. Right? And in and of itself, well, what's going to come of that? We might say on the surface. But the farmer knows. He leaves the sprouting, ultimately, and the growing, and the pollinating, and the maturing to God. And so it is with a preacher or with a believer who shares the gospel as well with a friend or neighbor or family member. So it is with the preacher. Through the foolishness of preaching, the word is proclaimed. A word, Christ crucified. Foolishness to Gentiles, a stumbling block to Jews, but to those being saved, the power of God. I mean, even Jesus is preaching as the itinerant preacher walks through the dusty roads from village to village, town to town, city to city. Even Jesus is preaching and teaching. It looked fruitless. As fruitless as scattering seeds. I mean, crowds often turned away. You know, we don't hear in the Gospels about thousands and thousands in the church multiplying, do we? Of course, we know because that seed of Jesus himself hadn't died yet and been put in a tomb and then burst forth to life. But nevertheless, we take it for what it is. Jesus, crowds often turned away. But the activity even of Jesus would eventually produce a crop. The power is within a seed itself to germinate within the soil. The power is within the word itself, as accompanied by the Spirit, to change the heart, to take root and grow. The growth of the seed is inevitable, and so we sow it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you tell that to someone, There's power in it. It's God's word to grow, to take root. And so, as I just in that one verse shared the gospel with you, I encourage you, sow seeds. It's not up to you to bring forth the growth. God will do that. The sowing of the kingdom. Well, in verses 27 and 28, we have the growing of the kingdom. Verse 27. Night and day, the farmer, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. While the farmer sleeps and rises day by day, so the seed sprouts and grows, that he doesn't know how. God works the germination. God works the development. God works the ripening process. The fruit is the result of the seed. The end is implicit in the beginning. The great is active in the small. And so again, ministers and believers, just like the farmer, stand aside as God performs the secret work of growth and of development. In the Word of God, the infinitely great is contained within the infinitely small, you might say, just the simple words of the gospel. Peter said something like this as he concludes his second letter. Before his closing benediction, he says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grow! He knows we can't do that in and of ourselves, but he knows God's Spirit is at work within the elect exiles that he wrote to. Jesus tells us something about this as it works out in the Christian life in John, one of his I Am statements in John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." In this case, he gets into the more of the, for the believer, that sense of who are his, those that are in Christ, those who are connected to the vine, they will bear fruit. Those that do not bear fruit, he prunes he does pruning of believer, even of believers, but the point is, he says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing," he says. "If anyone does not remain in me," it's crucial, "he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers, picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, and so show yourself to be my disciples." Again, Jesus speaks in Luke 6 of that out of the overflow of the heart which the word has been implanted, the mouth speaks. And then Paul talks of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, sowing and reaping. This is a parable of sequence. The harvest follows the sowing in due time. The seed sprouts and grows, though the farmer does not know how. The word is, the word used here about how it grows is actually the word spontaneity. The kingdom comes spontaneously. Given the necessary spiritual conditions, it grows. The growing of the kingdom. Verse 28, we continue. "All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head." Like our text does, the farmer can describe the process of growing wheat, but he can't explain it. The wheat's been, after the seed's been sown, the seed absorbs the moisture. It swells, it sprouts, first the blade, then it stools, then it gains height, then the head. Then in the case of wheat, it dies. The color turns from green to gold, it's ripe and it's ready to harvest. And you can imagine a wheat field in your mind right now, can't you? The sun and the wind blowing and it glistening as it's getting ready for harvest. When the time is ripe, it's harvested. The farmer, he can describe, but he can't explain what's happening there. He's just a worker. He sows and at the proper time reaps. God holds the secret of life. God is in control. God grows his kingdom. We saw one of the markers of this when in due time, when the fullness of time had come, he brought forth his son, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, his first coming, his incarnation. And when the time is ripe, God will intervene decisively in the affairs of humanity once again. A harvest not only of salvation, but of judgment. He's been patient. He's being patient right now, even. But the time will come. We will have the mowing of the kingdom. We've had its sowing and its growing. There will be the mowing of the kingdom. Jesus is James' brother, who came of faith later and then wrote what might have been the first New Testament letter book written. James puts it like this: be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. For us, the call is to be patient, to sow seeds, so to sow the seeds of the word. To be patient, to establish our hearts, to know where we stand with the Lord, to make our calling and election sure. Because when the grain's ripe, he puts forth the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. I have a little book by A.W. Pink where he goes through these parables as they are in Matthew, and he is examining them in light of the second coming. Well, this passage right here reminds us of that, because verse 29 is almost a quote from Joel 3:13. As God through the prophet Joel is declaring judgment on those whose evil is great, he says this: put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Jesus is both Savior and he's also judge of those that reject him. This is how Paul put it to the Galatians after he has reminded them of the gospel, that they had been bewitched. And he says, remember the gospel that was preached to you. And then he preaches to them of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. He says this: do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Don't you love the consistency how the Bible, even its own imagery? And so he says, don't grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Believers, I remind you of Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this: he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. For unbelievers, I remind you of this: Jesus tells us in two other places, the weeds, using this same imagery of using this agricultural imagery, weeds will be bound in bundles and burned, but the wheat gathered into the barn. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Believe the gospel. Come to Jesus. Find rest. Find eternal life. He says, come to me. Believe on me. Believe on that one name given under heaven by which we must be saved, Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist told us, this Savior Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The wicked and depraved generation among which we live doesn't like to hear about unquenchable fire. But Jesus is the one who told us. And so Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Come to me. And be the wheat that is gathered into the barn. Revelation, I'm not going to read it, but I'll point you to Revelation chapter 14. The Son of Man with a sickle reaps his harvest. And so we have the sowing of the kingdom, the growing of the kingdom, and the mowing of the kingdom. But I close by asking you to rejoice with me. And rejoice, and again, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary of scattering seed, the seed of the Word of God. Because Isaiah preached, and he preached to a hard-hearted folk. But Isaiah knew, and I close with this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word will not return void. Let us repent and believe the good news of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a simple image, yet profound, a seed, how it grows, so you grow your kingdom. Lord, I pray that your word would grow and grow within our hearts, that we would grow, each of us, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and give each of us opportunities to bear witness, to scatter seed, because you'll bring the growth in due time. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive these good words. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and every good word. Amen.